Okay, so yesterday, quick review. We learned in the Gemara in Brachos, which says that there's an idea of doing Shnayim Mikra. Anybody who does that, his days are lengthened. We postulated, it seems like it's just a good thing to do, not a halacha. And that is how the Ravan understands it, But the Rambam, the Rosh, the Rif, all the rest of the Poskim, and the Shulchan Aruch say that it's a chiyuv, it's an obligation. It's unclear if it's a minag, which became a chiyuv, or if it's a takana, but almost all the poskim say that it's an obligation to do the parsha twice with a targum. So we mentioned that Shulchan Aruch said that what is the ideal way to do targum? If you're a yira, you have yira shemayim, what's the like highest of the highway? Remember? Rashi and Unklus, targum Unklus. Guys, just try to close the door when you come in. Close the door when you come in, please. Thank you for coming. It's hard. Okay. So, we postulated why what was the importance of Targum Dafka? Why specifically Targum Unklus? Why is he significant? The Gemara in Megillah talks about how it's rooted in Har Sinai, and we also talked about how both Rashi and Unklus are rooted in the rabbinical understanding of the text and not just the shot, not just the JPS version. And Dafkar, the rabbis, wanted us to have a rabbinical understanding in our daily regimen of learning. Okay? We're talking about everyday learning, learning the lesson of the Parsha, living with the times according to Hasidus. Okay? I want to share with you guys a little of a Hasidic idea. Okay? So bear with me. I think it's on page 4. But all the Hasidic masters and the Kabbalists, like the Maharal and the Chidah and those guys, they all talk about the importance of Shnayim Mikra. They make a really big deal about it. Okay? Much more maybe than others. And what they say is that the Shnayim Mikra that you do during the week, it's like it helps all the Torah that you learn during your week kind of be contained within you. Okay? And when they talk about this idea of Unklus, so I, in order to understand the significance of Unklus, I'll give you a little bit of a Hasidic prep. Okay, according to the Hasidic and Kabbalistic way of understanding the world, there's basically three types of things in the world. There's holy things, like a Sefer Torah. There's unholy things, which are like, murder or pig, which have nothing, you can't make them holy. And then there's something called Klipat Noga, which is the in-between, okay, which you can use it for the good, and then you raise it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or if you don't use it for the good, you raise it, you kind of bring it down. Right, what would be a good example of Klipat Noga? Food. Food's a great example. Excellent. Right, so you say a holy bracha, you raise it up, Kodosh Chodesh, Kaval, and if not, it's drawing you down. Okay? So Unklus is Aramaic. Hebrew is Lashon Kodesh. It's holy. Okay, so we're kind of raising ourselves up by reading the text in Hebrew. Even if you don't understand the Hebrew, by the way, you get a mitzvah just by reading the Hebrew in Shah. Not in Gemara, you have to understand it. But in Chumash, just reading it is a mitzvah. Aramaic is what the Kabbalists would call Klipat Noga. Why is it Klipat Noga? Because it has a good meaning the Talmud was written in Aramaic, and it had a not-so-good meaning, which is regular non-Jewish people in the Gemara times would speak Aramaic, right? So according to Chassidut, by reading the text in Aramaic, I'm raising up this klipa of Noga. Okay, I'm raising up these holy sparks. And they say that's why Dafka, the best time to do Shnayim Mikra, is on Friday afternoon. Can anybody guess why would Friday afternoon have a special inyan of raise of Klipat Noga? Why would that be the best time to do Shnayim Mikra according to the Kabbalists? Because what is Friday afternoon? It's the in-between states. Exactly, like Tal says. On the one hand, it's Chol, right? It's Friday. On the other hand, you can already feel the energy of Shabbat being drawn into you, and therefore, the Arizal would actually go on Friday afternoon, open up the Sefer Torah, and read from it to do his Shnayim Mikra. You're not on that level, but Kabbalists suggest, you know, the Hasidic masters, on Friday afternoon, there's Dafka and Inyan, and you're drawing in the Kedusha onto yourself. And that's why a lot of people who are Hasidic, they'll try not to interrupt. Any guys ever seen this? When they're doing Shnayim Mikra, they won't interrupt because they're trying to bring that Kedusha inside of themselves. Okay? Makes sense? Everyone good? Daft on Friday afternoon during that Klipat Noga time. All this, again, is a Kabbalistic Hasidic understanding, which, you know, maybe the simpler explanation, you need, these are chumras. You don't have to do all this stuff. It's just kind of cool extra stuff to know about. Okay? Cool, guys? Make sense?
Yeah.
On a more simple level, what is the rationale, what is the reasoning behind the Takana of Shnayim Mikra? Let's give three reasons.
Should we get more customers Torah?
Excellent. The first reason, the Aruch HaShulchan in source 5, you have the second page, but everyone already lost their source sheets, that's okay. The Aruch HaShulchan says, is based on the Levush, Kedei Sheyehe Baki BaTorah.
Expert.
To be an expert in the Torah. Every Jew should be an expert in Torah. He should be an expert, you know, he should have a Torah bowl, and what's it called? Chidon Tanach, and he should be an expert. And the way to get us to be experts is through Shnayim Mikra. Okay, so it's just a way to make sure that we're experts. But the Aruch Shulchan says the Ein Zeh Speak Kama Van. But that's not a good enough reason. Why does the Aruch Shulchan feel like that's not a good enough reason to justify Shnayim Mikra?
Because
anyway, we could do Talmud Torah. What else? What else could we argue why it clearly
that's. Have to do it in that set.
Right, why do I have to specifically do it twice in that way? I just read it at my own pace when I feel like I'll have chumash later. Like, why do I have to do it every single week? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that there must be other reasons. So what are the other reasons what we can give as to why we have to do Shnayim Mikra?
It's like you have Gakti Torah in your life every day.
Excellent, okay, so it's like a Chok Yisrael, but who says I have to have chumash? Maybe I'll have Gemara every day. Why specifically? You're right, it does ensure that we have guaranteed Torah, but why Dafka Chumash? Because Torah is the root of it all. Torah is where it all starts. It starts. If we're going to have a daily regimen of anything, it makes sense to have Torah. Good point. That makes sense. What else? I think somebody suggested this yesterday. What else does Shnayim Mikra do? It unifies us. It unifies the Jewish people that we're all on the same pace, reading, learning the same thing. I can go on Monday. I actually used to do a night seder and go over to my buddy and be like, yo, what do you think about Noah? Good guy, bad guy? You know, what's your shot? And he'll actually know what I'm talking about. Right? Because we're all learning the same thing. So it unifies the Jewish people. Okay, now we have Daf Yomi and other things like that. But the original kind of like Chumash Yomi was Shnayim Mikra. The Aruch HaShulchan postulates that this actually began with Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll read it. Ruvada Bishasha Tikan Moshe Rabbeinu, the Krok Batorah, Tikan Gamze Takanazu, Shekola Chad Yikra Shnayim Mikra Bechatargim. So what's Aruch HaShulchan saying? Where was the beginning of this decree of Shnayim Mikra? Where did it all start from? From Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Maybe he got it from Har Sinai.
I think it's a little far out, like the end of the Torah, like still written before he died. So.
That's a good point. It's an interesting thing, but where is he drawing this idea that Shnayim Mikra was established after by Moshe Rabbeinu? Where is he getting that from? Because what other decree do we know was established by Moshe Rabbeinu? Create the Torah. Create the Torah, according to the Gemara, at least on Shabbos, was decreed by Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, well, Moshe Rabbeinu decreed that we should decree the Torah, then he also maybe decreed that we should do Shnayim Mikra. Okay? So we see here that the Aruch HaShulchan is linking Create the Torah to Shnayim Mikra, which leads to explanation number three. What could be the reason why we do Shnayim Mikra?
It'll help you. Like, land Torah better?
It'll help you on a simple level. In the olden days, they would call you up for an aliyah, and you were expected to actually lean. So it's a preparation to lean. But beyond just laning, nowadays we don't lane personally. Right? We have a set laner. But what else will it help you do? It'll help you be connected to the laning. Right? Think about it. If you just come to shul and you hear it one time, you're gonna run through it. It's going to go at a fast pace. You're not going to get so much out of it. But if you did Shnayim Mikra the week before, then when you hear that leaning in shul, actually have meaning to you, it'll be a powerful experience. Okay? And this is what the Aruch HaShulchan says.
Rabbi,
yeah? Right, so according to this Aruch HaShulchan, it would seem like there would be an idea to dafka read it before leaning. Excellent. Very good. And indeed, that is how we paskin, that ideally you should do at least one reading before the Kriyat HaTorah. Okay? Ideally, you'd have done two readings, but if not, at least one reading, and then the second reading would be if you follow along with the reader. According to many poskim, that counts. Whereas other rabbis say it'd be better to do the two readings before, but either way, everyone agrees at least one reading should be done before that Kriyat HaTorah, because it's an idea if it's meant to be a preparation for Kriyat HaTorah. Make sense? Okay, any other questions? So I'll just read it inside in the Lashon of the Aruch HaShulchan. V'nireh dechiyah b'Torah hashmi'ah v'halimud. K'mo she'omrim b'birkat ava lishmoa l'lmod. V'ine hashmi'ah hi b'shabbat mi'sefer Torah k'shera. V'lechen y'lmod b'kodesh mi'kodem b'chumash v'ya'aleh b'kodesh lishmoa mi'sefer Torah. Okay? So you guys understood that what did anyone chap what the Aruch HaShulchan is trying to say? We have an obligation of Shmia and Limud. Where's the Shmia? When do we hear the learning of the Sefer Torah? When you have Kriyat HaTorah, that's hearing. Okay? But beyond the hearing, you have an obligation of learning Limud, right? Right? Because like we actually see this concept a lot. There's an idea of doing something as a proclamation for the whole Jewish people, but then there's also an idea of actually learning something and being personally connected to it. Okay? So that's the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation. The Aruch HaShulchan actually has a fascinating idea where he thinks the idea of doing two readings and then a third in English is rooted in Chumash, is rooted back in the Sinaitic experience, where we got the Torah once at Sinai, and then we got it again at Ohel Moed, and Moshe reviewed the Torah. And then a third time at Arvot Moav, but there Moshe explained it more. So based on those three readings of the Torah, he wants to suggest that that's why we have to read the Torah twice, and then a third time with an explanation. Okay, so that's all a fascinating Aruch HaShulchan. By the way, just for understanding, who is the Aruch HaShulchan? What's unique about the Aruch HaShulchan? So the Aruch HaShulchan was written about the same period as the Mishnah Brura, except what he does is he's a little bit longer, but he'll explain the whole sugya, like from the Gemara to all the poskim to modern day guys. And he also was a shul rabbi, so he often brings in leniencies and brings in the customs of the Jewish people. Okay, so besides the Mishnah Brura, I'd say in the late 19th century, the Aruch HaShulchan is probably one of the most, if not the most important halachic work besides the Chafetz Chaim and the Mishnah Brura. What? He's the son of the Torah Tamima. I think it's something Epstein. I forget his first name. I'll get back to him. But something Epstein. He's from a very important rabbinical family, and he knows all the Gemaras. He's a super genius. Yeah.
How
does the Aruch HaShulchan defer from the Mishnah Brura? So will argue on the Mishnah Brura. He doesn't necessarily consider just because Mishnah Brura says something. They were contemporaries. At a certain point in Jewish history, the Aruch HaShulchan was actually more popular than the Mishnah Brura. Something happened, and the Mishnah Brura became like the most popular poset. But a lot of times, rabbis will look back in Aruch HaShulchan to see what he says. Sometimes they'll argue, sometimes they'll be more lenient, sometimes more strict. And he also tries to give explanations, as we're seeing. So I like to bring in Aruch HaShulchan. If you want to like look it up yourself, I think we have in the base, Reish Pei Hei, there's a lengthy explanation. I just did this yesterday. I learned it inside in the Aruch HaShulchan for the first time. It was really, really exciting. I like it. I like the way he did it. So, anyway, yeah. Tom? So
according to what I didn't hear every word you said, but according to what you say, according to this, the Achat Targum and the focal point, it would be a deep to do onkelos, or a deep to do something you actually understand.
Okay, halacha l'maisa, right. So we talked about the chassidus and the Kabbalah behind doing onkelos. The Shulchan Aruch says, ideally, do Rashi and Unglis. Mishnah Brura seems to agree. With that said, there definitely are a lot of modern-day poskim that I've heard. Why you rabbis, things like that. I've heard a lot of rabbis say that if you don't understand Unglis, for those of us who aren't Kabbalists and don't understand this idea of Klipat Noga, it might be better to just do an English translation with like art scroll, because that way we'll actually understand the text. If we go according to the Aruch HaShulchan's understanding that it's just to be a bucky in the Torah, right, like to be an expert in the Torah, reading the Unglis will not make me an expert in the Torah. Reading English will make me an expert in the Torah. So according to, let's say, the simple understanding, I would say it'd probably be better to do an English with an art scroll than to do an unklus. According to the more Hasidic, Kabbalistic understanding, it would be better to do it with an unklus. Obviously, the ideal would be to do both and Rashi, but yeah, you know, not necessarily everyone has time for that. So basically, their poskim, it's all good. Okay, it's all good in terms of that. But I would suggest using an art scroll translation because they take Rashi's interpretation into account. Dafka art scroll because they're biased. And they take Rashi's explanation and they're not pure pshat. If you read JPS, it doesn't have the art scroll rabbinical understanding. So while that might be a better pshat reading, it wouldn't necessarily be a better Shnayim Mikra reading of the text. And so it's kind of funny that it works out like that, but that's what I would suggest. It's just a if you just did a straight translation, I also think that there definitely would be poskim that would say that it's allowed. Okay? Where do I get that from? The Mishnah Berurah mentions that a teacher, a Rebbe, who just translates the pasuk with his students, that would also count as Shnayim Mikra. That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings down. So seemingly, according to that, as long as it's a translation, even if it's, you know, not a Rashi or Unklus, it would seem to count. That's the simple reading, and I've asked rabbis, and they said that makes sense. But when I looked it up in the Aruch HaShulchan this week, he said that those rabbis were also reading, they used to read the Unklus, and that's why it counts. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it might be that reading in English straight up might not be good enough, but I definitely think the rabbis would allow it. Personally, what I do is my wife and I, since we've been dating, I read the Hebrew, she reads the English, that's like our daily. We always like learn the parsha together every week, and she reads it. Usually, it's an art scroll translation, and then on my own, or we actually have been trying more and more to be doing Rashi together. I tried to get squeeze Rashi in there, but I don't always get around to it. But ideally, if you can get Rashi or a different commentator that's pasuk by pasuk, that could also count.
You have to read the Hebrew twice, right?
You definitely have to read the Hebrew twice. Okay. The question is, what can that third Targum be? So Rashi's good, English is good, it seems, Targum is good. Now, when you're talking about other commentators like Ramban, Balaturim, I don't know, stuff like that, you have to just make sure it's like Pasuk by Pasuk, okay? Because so, it's not in every Pasuk, then you have to read the Hebrew again. So let's say the Ramban, it's not necessarily in every Pasuk, so when you miss a Pasuk, you got to read it again. But like the art scroll commentary is on basically every pasuk, so that could also count as a commentary. If you want to actually take this to the next level, what you could do is every year take a different commentary. You know, this year do Rashi, the next year Ramban, the next year Balaturim, and the next year I don't know. And you'll actually every year become more and more of a Talmud Chacham and deepen your understanding of the text. I heavily recommend that, but. But to get in your Shnayim Mikra, you might just have to read English. Okay? Cool? What other things you have to know? What's the order? How do I do the Shnayim Mikra? Do I do it one Hebrew, one English, then one Hebrew, pasuk by pasuk, aliyah by aliyah? So basically, whatever you do is okay. As long as you could do a Hebrew reading and then a pasuk, you could do two readings of Hebrew and then a pasuk, you could do Hebrew on the whole Parsha and then the whole English. There are poskim that support all of these things, and different rabbis have different preferences. Okay, some rabbis preferred dafka, read it twice and then English, because then you understand every pasuk. Other rabbis said, no, you got to get the bigger picture. So you want to read the whole parsha, and then you read the English. So that there's a flexibility about that. You can choose whatever works for you. Their poskim will be supportive of everything. Okay, what about Yontif? Do I have to do Shnayim Mikra on Yontif? What's the halacha? Do I have to read the parsha before the Yontif reading? So the answer is, well, it's a good thing to do. You don't have to. Why? So the reason is because if Shnayim Mikra is about becoming an expert in the Torah and finishing the whole Sefer Torah,
you'll get to it. Right?
So you'll get to it anyway. So therefore, while it's a good thing to do to prepare you for the reading, it's a very good thing to do. You wouldn't be obligated. I actually remember when I was in a Kotel one late night on Friday night, my friend and I had a big argument about this. He said, I have to do it, and I said, no, I don't think you have to. And we looked it up, and I was right. That was a good day for me. Anyways.
You really wanted to be around.
Something like that.
Because it's good.
Okay, question.
Did you, for Shai and Rudra, did you want Aliyah every day of the week for Saturday? How would that be converted?
So let me just finish. Okay, so in terms of the timing, when's the best, when's the worst? So you're supposed to finish the Shnayim Mikra before you eat lunch. Okay, before you eat lunch. On Shabbos morning. Okay, there are those who are strict and try to have you finish it before Friday night. When I was a kid, I thought that was a halacha. So I used to drive my parents crazy. And before they would start their meal on Friday night, I said, no, I have to finish the Shnayim Mikra. And then I got a little stuck and I learned it inside and I realized that when it talks about the meal, it's actually talking about Shabbos morning, not Friday night. So while it's good to finish before Friday night, especially to prepare you for Shabbos, Hasidically, Kabbalistically, halachically, just before the laning. Okay, that's when you're supposed to finish your Shnayim Mikra. I'm saying before Shabbos morning eating. Okay? So I don't care how you do it, as long as you finish before Shabbos morning. What if you didn't get it by Shabbos morning? Only if you read along with the reader. If you just listen, according to almost everyone, that doesn't count enough. And you shouldn't do it loud because then you'll interrupt the people around you. Okay, so that could be one reading. But let's say you didn't do the other reading yet or the other targum. When should you finish it by? So the Shulchan Aruch says, by Mincha. Because Mincha is when we start doing the leaning for the next week. So by Mincha. And if you didn't do it by Mincha, when should you do it by?
Tuesday.
By Tuesday. Because Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are still connected to last week. Okay, so by Tuesday, that's like the last time to do Shnayim Mikra. And if you didn't do it by Tuesday, this is actually all in the Shulchan Aruch. When should you finish it by?
Next Shabbos, Friday morning.
Well, definitely, ideally, but before next Shabbos, but you have until next Simchas Torah to do the Shnayim Mikra. So if for some reason you've missed some parshas, you'll see a lot of guys, like, you know, the week before Simchas Torah, they're like getting it all in. So that's definitely not ideal. It's not what we're talking about, living with the parsha. But the Shulchan Aruch says, since there is an idea of Shnayim Mikra, just to be an expert, really excited about Shnayim Mikra, just to be an expert and to make a siyum on the Torah, so therefore you should finish it for Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is actually the celebration of the fact that we finished reading the Torah. So if you do Shnayim Mikra, you'll be much more personally connected and invested in Simchas Torah celebrations than if we just, oh, you heard the leaning reading of the Torah. And you'll be much more connected if you actually do that. Okay, so that's in terms of the timing. What else in the little time we have relating? What about women? Women. Are women obligated to do Shnayim Mikra? Exactly. So it seems like a time-bound mitzvah. It's also connected to the mitzvah of learning Torah. So therefore, and while women are connected to the mitzvah of learning Torah, or they say Birkas the Torah, they're not to the same extent as men in all degrees. And that's why your moms will be happy to know that they're not obligated to do Shnayim Mikra. They're not sinners, right? So this is good, because most women don't do it, so it's good. They're not obligated, according to how basically... I haven't seen anyone who's strict about it. With that said, if a woman wants to take upon herself to do Shnayim Mikra, does she get a mitzvah? Of course, of course. Like any learning Torah, she gets a mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra, and the Pini Halacha even suggests that if you want to be connected to your wife or to your girlfriend or whatever, you should make a seder of doing Shnayim Mikra together. I think it actually works with my wife and I. So we always have Torah to connect us and leads to other discussions. So he suggests, here, I have it inside. It's considered a great thing for couples to learn Torah together, and through their learning together they will merit that the Shekhinah dwells within them, and the Torah will guide their lives. But couples who have a hard time learning together don't need to be sad, because sometimes the extra love between them makes it hard for them to focus together on learning. So, Pini Halacha is very...
I know which relationship I want.
Yeah, so it's all good. If you want to learn, good. If you don't want to learn, that's okay too. Don't worry about it. But it's definitely a good thing to learn with your wife. Finally, last Halacha, and then we'll stop, because anyway, we have Shir. Haftorah, do you have to do Shnayim Mikra for Haftorah? No, you don't have to do it. It's only for Chumash. With that said, the Ramah says it's a praiseworthy thing just to get connected to Haftorah, to also learn the Haftorah. So I bless us all to really learn Shnayim Mikra. It connects us to Hashem. It gives us a daily regimen of Torah. Shkoyach, guys. Yeah, Zima.